Not a Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25, which has taken over my life at this point. I have not done anything else in the past 2 weeks other than play NBA 2K25, streaming it on Twitch. Shout out to everyone who tunes into the streams. But BJ, how have you been? Had a good weekend?
Yes, just watched a little football, a little WNBA. The playoffs are about to begin, and it's been good. And now I'm back talking to my good friend across the pond. Guy's doing a podcast. I mean, I don't know who else can pull off a podcast in a robe with a hood.
BJ, it's cold. It's cold. The other day you called me and you were complaining that it's 100 degrees outside. Brother, I went to the shops. I was wearing a long sleeve tee, a hoodie, another jacket, and a puffer coat on top, and I was still cold. It was pouring with rain. It's miserable. I don't know how much longer I can survive here, because it's not even winter yet. It's the 16th of September, and it's absolutely horrible. So it's cold and miserable. But what we will be doing is answering some questions from our Discord server. And I thought, while it's the off-season, we can take the time, instead of doing all the questions in one episode and spending about 5 minutes on each, we can take the time to really dive into some of these. So the first one is from AG, who says, well, he has two questions. The first one, pretty easy. Should the NBA bring back ninja headbands? I think yes. I see no reason why they shouldn't. But the other one is, which teams or players will have the biggest jump in improvement going into next season? Now, I've got a few names in mind, BJ, and I want to know your thoughts on some of these. The first one, I think you're going to love this suggestion, and that is one Mr. Evan Mobley, because the biggest leap in his game statistically last season was his three-point shooting. And every video I've seen from him scrimmaging in the summer, even though, you know, it doesn't really count these videos at the summertime, but he does look like he's continuing to level up in another offseason. And I'm expecting, maybe not for the entire season, but we spoke about this before with Scott on the show, when you guys said you expect Jarrett Allen to be traded. And I think after that happens, that people are going to see a real leap from Evan Mobley. Do you expect him to be in the running for that most improved this year?
It's quite possible for him to take a statistical leap and be very consistent in the statistics that he puts up on a night-to-night basis. And if it's one thing that's obvious in watching him play over the last, two, three, 4 years now, is that he's clearly more comfortable as a center than any other position. So with that, I think at the center position, he has a definite advantage because of his speed and quickness, his ability to play, you know, and stretch the court as a center. On the defensive end, he's always been an anchor. I've been watching him since college, Mo, as you know, and I've been one of his biggest supporters as far as what he brings to the court. So as a center, I can definitely see that happening. However, as a power forward, though, I don't know if that's possible for him to get those amount of touches that's going to be necessary to garnish those type of numbers that we're talking about. We're talking about him being a consistent 20-point scorer, a consistent 10-plus rebound guy, and he's going to give you the defensive blocks at either position. So, but I could see him being a 20-point scorer plus at the center position, no question about it. And for the Cleveland Cavaliers' sake, I hope he becomes that, because looks like they've pushed their chips all in with this group. They have a really good team. They just signed someone I just saw the other day. They just re-upped on someone's contract. Yes.
38 over 3.
So they look like they're ready to go for it. And certainly with a player like Evan Mobley, that's a pretty good start. So
From 22% to 37% from behind the arc just last year. Another name I have on my list, and I think he made a huge improvement last season, but no one really paid attention because not a lot of people watch the Atlanta Hawks, but that's Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson made a huge leap, you know, statistically. His three-point shot got a lot better. But the biggest part about that is because now teams have to worry about his three-point shot, which went from 29% to 36%. Because that's now a threat, it opens up more of the offense for the Hawks. And with the DeJounte Murray trade, there's now that void on the offensive end that needs to be filled. And I think that Jalen Johnson's going to step into that role. What do you think about the Hawks and how they're shaping up? Because you've not really talked about that too much.
Well, it's quite possible that he could step up statistically with his numbers. And with the number one pick, I'm not sure where this team, what direction this team is headed. You know, they have Trae Young, who's a max player. And then they have the number one pick, who's going to need to grow and figure out what he's going to need to be. And then they have all these young players, like you just mentioned. So I'm not really sure what to think about that, but I could see him taking a statistical jump this year. And I don't know necessarily how that will translate. I would need to see it. You know, where is that, like empty numbers? Will that be empty numbers?
Yeah.
Or is that going to be significant enough to make an impact? And you can say, okay, this guy could be a 20-point scorer on a good team or a contending team moving forward. So I'm going to need to see that.
Well, the Hawks do have one secret weapon. They did acquire a fantastic pickup this offseason, BJ. One Mr. David Roddy, a big fan favorite over here on the Hoop Genius podcast. That's my twin brother over there for the Hawks now. Another player on my list that I think will improve, or I guess this one's on the list because it can't get any worse. It won't be a popular choice, but Josh Giddey over there with the Bulls now, he's going to have consistent minutes, a more defined role. The fan base won't be crushing him after every single game. Like, you know, I saw a lot of negativity towards him before that whole incident, but just based on his play. And with that Chicago Bulls team, it's similar to what we just said about the Hawks. You know, is it going to translate to winning? Probably not. But statistically, you can see his stat line improving now that he's going to be, I guess, the primary ball. I don't even know Kobe White's there in the backcourt, but no DeMar DeRozan over there anymore. So what do you think about Josh Giddey in Chicago?
You know, this has the potential to be one of those trades that, you know, right now you would say the Oklahoma City Thunder got the best of that trade with Caruso.
Oh, they definitely did.
Yes. Right now, you would say that. I think, you know, if you ask 10 people, I think 9 would say that. However, when we look back on this trade, because of the potential of Giddey and what he could be, we could look back on this trade and say, the Bulls got the better of this trade. Giddey, if they put the ball in his hand, I don't know how they're going to use Josh Giddey. I really don't. I don't know who else, Zach LaVine, Kobe White. I don't know how they're going to play, right? I don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to utilize him. But if they put the ball in his hands and allow him to just play, he could put up massive numbers, especially in the Eastern Conference. Now, if there's one thing I will say, and it's well documented what happened off the court, and we know those things. But let's talk about what this young man does on the court. This young man has a chance, Mo, to be a really, really good player. I'm talking
he's only 21. Good player. He's still only 21. Yeah. He's been in the league for 3 years
and,
now.
And I want to say this, as you know, we talk about, you know, it seems like that's what we do, right? 24 hours out of the day, let's talk about players. You know, I like Josh Giddey.
As a player.
I like Josh Giddey. I really like Josh Giddey. Because this young man knows how to play. He has good size, and I know some things in his shooting and how it complements Shea, but make no doubt about it. He is a triple-double. He could put up big numbers. So I'm going to be fascinated to watch how he's going to move from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference, one, and if they're going to actually put it in his hand. I think Billy Donovan could really put him in position to put up big numbers this year, provided he's healthy and you know, they get off to, you know, I'm not saying they got to play, get to the playoffs, but he has a chance to really make an impact this year. And I like the fact that he's coming from a winning organization. So he has a chance to change the culture here, and he's young enough to do it. So I'm going to be interested to see. I'm not anticipating this, but if this is the Josh Giddey that I saw like a couple years ago, for instance, I think this has a chance to be a really good trade for the Chicago Bulls. So I'm going to kind of be watching, you know, and saying, you know what? Right now, it looks like Caruso is the better. That looks like that's the the better of the trade. But I still like Giddey's potential, and I like his talent. And I know this young man has a he has a chance to be a really good player. I think he has a chance to be an all-star caliber player here in Chicago.
I've got one more name on my list before I hear some of your suggestions. And that player is Derek Lively of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Derek Lively averaged 0 3-point attempts per game last season until the NBA Finals, where he knocked one down from the corner. And speaking to him in the preseason last year, when the team was in Abu Dhabi, he was talking about how he could shoot. And I guess he wasn't given the rein by Jason Kidd to let the shot fly from three. But if he does successfully add that to his game, then the Dallas Mavericks get a whole lot more scary because we know what he provides on offense, the constant lob threat, the rebounds that he can get. Defensively, he can block shots. But if he adds that three ball to his game, then the Mavericks could end up going back to the finals. Although you have a little conundrum there if Gafford will be happy, maybe coming off the bench if they want to start Lively. But what do you think about Derek Lively going ahead to next season?
Well, you know, he jumped on the scene last year and he was, you know, he was very surprising, to say the least, of how effective he was. I don't think anyone anticipated him having this level of impact in year one. Now that we know that he can be this caliber player or this level of player, the only natural progression for him is to become a starter and to carry more responsibility. And I'm not really sure if that is what's needed. What else can he do? We know where the ball is going to end up. Okay. It's going to end up in Luka's hands. And then when it's not in his hands, he has Kyrie. Now, he has really benefited from playing with those two because no one's, when you put the defensive scheme and the defensive game plan, you know, the first, second, third thing on the list is not to stop Derek Lively. Okay. So he's really benefited. And he's really benefited playing, especially with those two guys. I mean, those two are like Hall of Fame level talents. And both of them are exceptional passers in traffic and the way they can score and the things they can do. So I'm not really sure what entails for him to do more of other than to continue to figure out how to navigate playing off of those two players because the offense goes through Luka.
But what I mean is like adding that 3-point shot. We talk about Brook Lopez and Miles Turner as two of the only 7-footers that can block shots and space the floor on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, well, here's the thing. What's going to help Luka and Kyrie is to screen and roll. You got to dive. Because if you screen and pop, Luka and them can't turn the corner because the defense is just standing right there. Okay. Yeah, you have to have the proper spacing. Luka, they need lob threats. Lively and Gafford, they were the beneficiaries of this proper spacing on the floor. Now, all of a sudden, you're asking him to do something and you're going to mess up the spacing of the floor. Okay. Right now, maybe at some point that will change. However, if you're saying this team as is, they're going to need someone to roll to take the defense with them.
They don't need him to shoot threes, but it adds another wrinkle to the offense. It adds another option.
Again, I don't see these wrinkles, right? Everyone said these wrinkles, unless they're going to change the way they play. The wrinkle is I got to get Luka touches. And then after he gets his touches, then I got to get Kyrie touches and we play out of it, right? And you have to have someone there in the dunker spot. You have to have someone on the in the corners, the pass two, and you got to have someone that's going to be out front for some level
Well,
of
you do then
transition defense.
have the possibility of playing Gafford and Lively at the same time. And then you have Gafford who's rolling or in the dunk spot, and then you have Lively in the corner. And then on defense, you've got Lively who's more athletic, who can maybe somewhat guard the perimeter. And then you've still got Gafford at the five.
If I'm the Dallas Mavericks, I'm just going to have one player that can play vertical basketball. The reason being is because I do not want teams to take away one of the driving lanes for my two best players. I'm complementing what my two best players will do. Right? If you can't guard either one of those guys as a little guy, because they'll just throw it right over the top. Luka has a significant advantage as a player because he's really 6'8", 6'9", probably bigger, whatever he is, and he can throw right over the top. He can throw right over the top with a big guy. He's big enough to where he can ride out little guards. So you can't put a little guard on him. And then he can just pass right over the top. So you have to play those guys with big guys, or at least two of your bigger players on the floor. Everyone's playing small, but Luka is just as big as most guys on the floor, regardless of what position you're playing. Now, when you dive one of those to the floor, that means they're going to have to be picked up by a guard. Okay.
Yeah.
So if he's picked up by a guard, that means now they're spraying the ball, right? That's what they call it. They're spraying the ball to the corners. Luka has all the choices. Luka has, as you know, he has a mid-range bow. He can get to the
He's got
basket.
everything.
He's got the whole offensive package. That's what you want. When I start putting Gafford and Lively on the floor, now I'm taking away one of the lanes. Why would I take away one of the options for my best player? And as good as Luka is, Kyrie is arguably just as good in some regards with splitting the double teams and doing those things, provided you have the proper spacing. So I don't think at this point it would probably be in their best interest. However, do I think it could be something that he adds to his game at some point in his career? It will be exposed, yes. But with those two guys on the floor, he fits perfect. What does he do well? He's an exceptional athlete. He runs the floor and he plays vertical basketball. And he doesn't require you to give him any plays for him to get 15 or 20 points, give or take, during the course of the game of how the other team says what they're going to take away, because Luka is a problem. So we'll see. But I like how he plays right now with this group. I think he fits perfectly with this group. But at some point in his career, do I think his offensive game will expand? Yes. But with Luka and Kyrie at this stage, I don't think so.
Okay, what are the names that you have in mind for a player or a team that you think is going to improve the most this season coming up?
Well, I think the player that I'm watching the most this year is Jalen Green. Because he
Okay.
had flashes this year, or last year, I should say, where he really stepped up and contributed to winning.
Yeah, especially after Şengün went out with injury.
Yes. And I'm really looking for him to take on the responsibility as a young player. Not just a player who's going to put up stats. I'm looking for him to contribute to winning and be a significant part of that. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the development and maturity in his game to where he's just not a player that puts up 25 a night, but I'm looking for him to make a contribution to the bottom line in the Western Conference. I think they have a, I think if they are healthy this year, they should be in the top eight in the West.
Do you think, though, he was so good when Şengün was out, now Şengün's coming back into the lineup? Do you think that's going to alter things in terms of, he's a player who needs the ball in his hands, needs his
I don't
rhythm?
know, but I know what good players do. They figure it out. I don't know that. Now, if you're saying the player that I saw in the first, what, 2 years? Maybe that would be the case. But you know what, Mo? You know what I liked about him last year? He took a big step because they were winning. They
Yeah.
were playing some
They
meaningful
closed out
games
the
down the
season
stretch.
strong. Yeah.
So now I want to see, Steven Adams, for instance, is coming on this team. They have some really good players. They have depth. They can go in a variety of ways. The Thompson twin is, he was kind of in and out. He was hurt.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen is going to be okay. So I think Jalen Green will get the first crack at it. I think he will probably be looked upon, maybe not as a young player, the way he performed. And if he can come out of the gate and begin to take on that responsibility and win games, I'm not saying put up big numbers, be a player where you say, this is our go-to guy in a need situation.
Yeah.
I think they have a chance to be a really good team. All right. Yeah, we know they're well coached. We know they're going to play hard and we know they're going to defend. But I think Jalen Green has a chance to take one of those steps and be that level of player.
They've also got Reed Shepard, who they drafted this year, who looked really strong in the summer league, who's going to be wanting minutes.
Yeah,
so.
He's a young player. I think, you know, he's a young player, nice player. However, I think it's going to be tough for any young player to really break into this because I think they're poised to win. And I think they can beat any team on any given night. I really do. I think they have that level of talent. But I think Jalen Green will play a big part in that. And listen, you never know, but I'm really looking forward to him to be a player that you can say, that kid there has a chance. Because his talent is off the charts.
Any other players or teams that you have in mind for an improvement next season? Besides the obvious Mr. Wembanyama, who we've spoken about a million times, which I can tell from the smile on your face you're about to say.
Well, anytime you give me a chance to talk about Wembanyama. I want to say this. I'm going to put my Pistons on the hot seat here. Now I'm going to put him on the hot seat. Listen. Now, Cade was drafted number one in front of Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they committed financially to Cade this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for us to show some improvement, Mo.
Yeah. Okay. He's way overdue.
Okay, Mo. Now, you know, this is, we talk about their young core and all those things. Now it's time to show some improvement. So I'm looking this year for Cade, especially now with the commitment that has been made, to say, is he the player that's going to take us there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is this, year three now? Is this year three for him or year four?
Yeah.
It's time now.
Yeah, he had some injury problems.
He's had some injury problems
in his second season, but yes. You know, he played 62 in his third year last year.
Okay, it's time. But now we got to get something in the win column.
Yeah.
We got to get something here. And if it's going to happen, we need to see that from him. Then we need to see Duren and Ivy and all the other guys here. So, but I'm going to say one I'm going to be looking at closely is Cade Cunningham. Because of now they've committed to him. I mean, well, they've committed to him in a big way. So there's no excuse of like, do we need a team? Everyone's committed. We know he's going to be there. But is he that guy that can affect the bottom line? You know, just like we just said about Jalen Green. Jalen Green was affecting the bottom line last year. Now we need to see that here from Cade. You know, he was the number one pick.
Yeah,
the
Pistons can't be any worse. We'll the Pistons can't get any worse than they were.
Well, hey, I said that last year, Mo, as you know. I said that last year, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, but you never know what's going to happen. You never know.
Well, with the new coach, who knows? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But shout out to AG for sending in that one. If you want your question answered on a podcast, make sure you join our Discord server. It's linked in the description of this show so you can come and join a community. If the link is not working for you, because some people have had some problems with it, just tweet me or Instagram or wherever, you know, to find me. And I'm live on Twitch. So if you want to tune in, twitch.tv/hoopgenius every evening for about as long as you need, 4, 5, 6 hours. I did a 9-hour stream earlier this week. We've been putting in work, we've been putting in hours, so come through to the Twitch, and BJ and I will be back tomorrow with more, answering your questions from the Discord. BJ, did the Lions win this weekend? That's my question for you.
We lost Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tom Brady,
well, he's retired. Well,
he's retired. He finally retired.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about him. He retires and he comes back and he retires and he comes back.
Yeah, he retires.
So we
he
lost retired. Lost against Tom Brady less Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes. Yes.
Is Gronk retired too?
Oh, Gronk's been retired. He retired before Tom Brady.
So the Lions are cooked then.
No. It's a team sport. We don't buy. We sell the hero. but we know it takes a team to win. That's what we do.
Okay.
Yeah. You got your headliners, but it takes a team, especially in American football. You can't win without your team. But it was a good game.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Well, hopefully they get the next one. Maybe.
No, we're here. We're Detroit. We fight. This is what we do.
You say that after just talking about the Pistons.
Yeah, this is what we do. This is what we do.
All right. Well, we're back for another week. So make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.